Hello, and thanks for joining us on Chicago Tonight, Latino Voices. I'm Joan Hernandez. Here's what we're looking at. Latino evangelicals could play a major role in deciding the fate of November's presidential election. Residents in Little Village are pushing back on a Starbucks in their neighborhood over concerns of displacement.
The expression of our culture overflows.
And from Pilsen to Grand Park, how Chicagoans are celebrating Mexican Independence Day this weekend. We'll kick things off right after this.
Chicago Tonight, Latino Voices, is made possible in part by the support of these donors.
Latino voting bloc is back in the national spotlight ahead of the November presidential election. But a more specific group may be a major deciding factor, Latino evangelicals. They're one of the fastest growing faith groups as other religions are losing members. And while the demographic leans conservative, Republican Donald Trump's divisive rhetoric about immigrants has put off some of these voters.
In Springfield, they're eating the dogs, the people that came in. They're eating the cats. They're eating the pets of the people that live there. And this is what's happening in our country.
Also, at this week's debate, Kamala Harris tried to make an appeal to religious voters on a controversial topic.
A survivor of a crime, a violation to their body, does not have the right to make a decision about what happens to their body next. That is immoral. And one does not have to abandon their faith or deeply held beliefs to agree. The government, and Donald Trump certainly, should not be telling a woman what to do with her body.
Joining us now with more, Pastor Javier Gonzalez of El Verbo de Dios Church in Melrose Park. And via Zoom, we have Patricia Ruiz Cantu of Evangelicos con Harris. Thank you both for joining us. Javier, I want to start with you. For people who don't really know about your faith, tell me what it means to be an evangelical member.
Well, I would say to be an evangelical member is not so much the title as it is a lifestyle. To be devoted to the Word of God, to study the Word, to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ specifically, I think it's key in your faith walk as an evangelical Christian.
And same question for you, Patricia. What would you say it is to be an evangelical member?
To be an evangelical for me is follow the Word of Jesus Christ and follow His doctrine. And the most important thing is following His teaching and what He has taught us through His life.
And as we know, there are only 53 days left until the election. You're both confident in who you're casting your vote. Javier, what issues are most important to you?
Well, definitely, I would think three major issues, right? That's honor, whoever the candidate is who would win this election, that they would honor the people of the United States, the hardworking Americans of all races and nationalities. Definitely, the fabric of America, it's consisting in the respect of life, that we would respect life, and also that we would honor the families of this nation.
And Patricia, same question for you. What issues are most important for you right now?
Well, for me, and one of the reasons why I'm part of this Evangelicals for Harris is the respect. We have to respect, we have to value humans in general. Jesus Christ came for everybody, not just a specific breed of people or anything like that. He came and died for every single individual. And this country was, the founding fathers is in God we trust. So for me, it is extremely important that we value the and respect each human being in this country. So every citizen, everybody that lives here.
And you were actually in Chicago for the Democratic National Convention. Why was it important for you to be there?
For me, it was important to be there because I wanted to see and talk to other Democrats. I wanted to see, to hear what was the plan. I wanted to be in there to be able to, as an evangelical, we believe that we have the Spirit of the Lord in us. And when you go somewhere, the Spirit of God goes with you, and you know when something is right and when something is wrong. And I wanted to feel that. I wanted to know that, and I prayed to be there, and I was there to make sure that there was a space for God and a space for prayer. I'm very happy to mention that there was a prayer room. It was open for everybody that could go in there, and if they just needed a space to just pray and to be with their spiritual being, then to be there. And then we also had a booth there for Evangelicals for Harris, which we wanted to make sure that they know that our values and our Christian values are extremely important.
And Javier, going to you, what is it about Trump that makes him the best candidate in your eyes?
Well, in my eyes, as I would say, I'm a businessman as well. I'm a contractor, and I've been having my own business for since 2012. I believe he's a great businessman. I believe that he knows the numbers, he knows the facts, the figures, and I think that he would be a great tool for this economy to get back in good standing. Is he perfect? I don't expect perfection. I do disagree with some of the way he's carried out his campaign, but more than a businessman, I'm a man of God. And as a man of God, I have to pray for discernment. See, I would say that the church's role is not so much to go to the voting polls as we naturally would think. The church's role is to pray. And I agree with our guest that the church needs to unite, not for whatever party, but the Bible says that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and would seek his face, he will heal our land. America is sick. America's hurting. America's divided. And if we don't come to the field of the cross, we will get nowhere.
And I see that you're getting emotional. And you also mentioned that Trump is not perfect. And some of your story is that you also migrated here right when you were very young.
Yes, it was 1985.
What do you say when Trump has some despairing things about, you know, says some things about Latinos and immigrants? How do you reconcile that?
I can't reconcile a man that is misinformed. I believe that we are a hardworking people. I've been at the jails when the migrants came over, when they were sleeping on the floor. We've gotten really good people out of the people who are today volunteering and helping in our church, building the church. I can't speak that everybody is that's just throwing everybody in the same hat. So I would disagree that mass deportation is the answer. I think that what happened recently in this last year was done a little bit irresponsibly on both parties. The city did not have the resources to handle this type of weight, but I believe that there is a solution.
So you don't fully agree with all his policies or what he's talking about. I know you've mentioned before he needs white America to win the election, and that's what white America wants to hear. What did you mean by that?
Unfortunately, I believe that there's still a lot of racism, and when we throw these general terms, illegals, deportations, I believe that you mix up all these hardworking people and you put them in the same hat as people, or which is probably the minority of those who are come here to just slack off. I don't think that's the majority of Latinos.
Patricia, what is your opinion on your thoughts on what Javier is saying?
Well, first I want to say that one of the reasons why I'm supporting Kamala Harris ticket is because one of the things that the Bible teaches us is unity, love your neighbor. And right now, the messaging is hate that person that doesn't look like you. We've seen it. I don't want to be specific on things that the other party has been saying, but it is extremely important. As an immigrant myself, I immigrated from Mexico, and being Mexican and how since 2020, the labeling of rapist, and we are Latinos are one of the hardest immigrants that come here into the United States. Latinos are the feet and hands of this country. We bring food to our table. And also I'm a business owner. So when I look at the whole package, when I look at who is going to be representing this country, I'm looking at the person that is talking about unity. And when I'm going into different churches to talk about, you know, you have to activate yourself, because if we are not on the table, we're in the menu. And it's so easy for people to label us, especially if they don't have any interaction with Latinos that we all came here to the United States for the American dream. Even when they came in with the first settlers, they came here for freedom of religion, to look for their dream, for their peace. And so what has changed? You know, just the years have changed. Now we're going to close everything. So I'm a firm believer that there has to be rules, that we have to follow the law, that we have to make sure that we support businesses and
Patricia,
all of that. But
I want to intervene really quick because it's really interesting that both of you are following the same faith, yet you still have very different opinions. Javier, I want to go to you. Why do you think the faith is growing? Yet it seems also, you know, it's two different directions.
Well, the faith can only grow when you put in hard work. We got people, again, we've been at the police stations when they were sleeping on the ground. We've been doing food drives. We are hugging people when COVID told us that they couldn't touch us. We were right there in the middle of the street giving people food. You have to put in that footwork. Otherwise, there is no growth. Hard work doesn't only go on your 9-to-5 job. Hard work goes investing in your community.
And you've done a lot
bridges.
Of work, correct, with
Absolutely.
Helping asylum seekers?
Yes, us and the Word of God Church, correct, yes.
How many members would you say that have? And how is that conversation? I know many of them cannot vote.
Well, I'll tell
but
you
what
this.
Are those? What is that conversation like?
I'll tell you this. During COVID, we went down to about double digits. From a congregation of 150 to 200 people, we must have hit nearly around 20. Donald Trump came up with a program called Food to Farmers. At that moment, we were feeding about 900 to 1,000 families a week, every week. We were getting fresh produce in boxes. Now, again, is he the perfect gentleman? No, but he has done his part, right? That doesn't make me vote for him. It just makes me see that not all is bad. And what I see is that when the church is doing what they're supposed to do, when they're working, when they're moving, when they're praying, we will reach that promised land. We will reach the healing that America needs.
And we only have a couple seconds. Patricia, what are your last thoughts?
Well, my only request for people, especially the evangelicals, is to serve your community. You know, I want you to pledge to serve. You have to serve your community. You have to go out there to know your neighbors, to know the people that the government is going to be representing, and then choose unity and compassion over division. It is extremely important. The most important thing is prayer. We need to pray because, as I tell people when I go out in the community, nothing happens without the will of God.
Thank you, Patricia. We're going to have to leave it at that. Thank you. Thank you both for your input.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
Up next, pushback over a Starbucks coming to Little Village. We explain right after this. Residents say they're facing yet another blow to their community. A Starbucks is set to open at the Little Village Plaza, an area once filled with local vendors and businesses before it was sold to developers. Residents say this is just the beginning of what will lead to gentrification, while others say the community should embrace the investment. Joining us are Baltasar Enriquez, director of the Little Village Community Council, and Alderman Byron Cicho Lopez of the 25th Ward. We also reached out to a representative from Starbucks and did not receive a response. Thank you both for joining us. Baltasar, I want to go to you. There was a community meeting held last week with representatives from Starbucks. What was your message to them?
Our message is here. This type of businesses don't correlate, don't not go with our image of a Mexican neighborhood, a Latino neighborhood. And shame on the Chamber of Commerce for supporting these type of businesses. You know, they say, hey, you know, shops, small business, support small business, and then they're gonna let a big corporation come in. Bola de hipócritas, you know, hypocrites. And what we're saying here is that this neighborhood was not handed to us. We fought and fought, and we finally got this big 2 mile radius, 2 mile, another magnificent mile, but it wasn't handed to us. So we don't see the same things that our small businesses are going to suffer now, right?
So to see a Starbucks coming there.
Because we have coffee shops in Little Village. We have Cafe Catedral, Azúcar, Cafecito, Little Village Cafe.
But to see such a big chain doesn't sit well with you.
It doesn't also sit with me, but with the neighborhood, the image that we have.
And Alderman Byron Teacher Lopez, I want to bring you in. Have you gotten any positive feedback about the store? What are your thoughts?
Yes, no, and we have a representative that attended a meeting, and we hear the concerns of residents. We also recommended to the owners of the site is in where the discount mall or part of what was left is located. So they are doing this licensing by right, is within their mall. However, I do think that the developer continues to ignore the pleas of the community. I think that there are multiple small local coffees like we have in Pilsen, where we have prevented, you know, big change to come in, especially in this case, Starbucks, a corporation that union bossed and quite honestly continues to fund a genocide in Gaza. So for us, I think in the community, we continue to see the preference to local businesses, and hopefully, you know, again, we were committed to bring real investment to the ward that supports small businesses. It is disappointing that they don't listen.
And Alderman, did you know that this was the plan for that empty space?
So, and Baltasar and I were part of the efforts to try to keep this discount mall open. I think that we have in multiple occasions recommended. We did sit down when they tell us about the proposal for the Starbucks, and I was very frank that I would be public about my opposition. However, as you know, in the system where, you know, people can choose where to go, where supportive or not, you know, they decided to move forward. I do think that there is resistance in the community. I do think that is there could be better choices, but ultimately, just given the options that we have, they're operating by right. And I do hear the concerns. And again, I personally do not think that that belongs to corporations. And
would you say it's disappointing?
For me, it's disappointing that we did not provide a space for a small business. We have wonderful coffee shops that would have been a great fit. Unfortunately, again, we have a developer that favors, you know, corporate chains.
And Baltasar, your organization started a campaign called Ni Una Gota, or Not One Drop. Tell me about that.
So we want our members and our residents to support our campaign, Ni Una Gota. We're not going to consume one drop out of their coffee until we sit down at the table and tell Starbucks, shut your operations here or hand over your business to a non-for-profit, similar to Luminati's, which they have a restaurant right on Ogden and Pulaski, and all the money that they make goes to Londo Christian Clinic. So we either they hand it over to us or get out.
So how are you hoping to connect people with this campaign?
So the way we're doing it is by letting the people know that we have good coffees in Little Village, Café de Olla, Café Champurrado, and we want to make sure that Starbucks doesn't steal our image by having a horchata latte, a mazapan flavor, frappuccino, because we don't want them to mimic us.
Don't believe that reflects the community?
No. And Starbucks does not align with our values, and our values is families. And like the alderman said, they support genocide, so their values don't fall with our values and our image.
In the community meeting, do you feel the Starbucks representatives were listening to the concerns of the people?
No, they were not listening.
Were there people in the community who were for it?
Maybe one person, but the community, most of the members were not for it, and they did not answer our questions. They didn't know, and when a corporation like this doesn't know, it really means they don't care. And because they have so much money, they're going to do whatever they want. And, you know, again, money here is the big issue. And I can't afford a Starbucks. It's like $5, $6 just for coffee. So our neighborhood cannot afford.
Do you think
Starbucks.
This would lead to gentrification? I mean, many people already have said that Pilsen shows how that community has gone gentrified. Are you concerned that Little Village is headed that way?
We are very concerned. We've been concerned, and we have made sure that Novak gets the message. Yeah, you might own the plaza, but you don't own the neighborhood, and that's what we want to make sure that we choose the destiny of Little Village. That it's our people making the decisions, not people outsiders or people that don't belong in our neighborhood.
And Byron and Alderman, the store is already under construction. I passed it the other day. It's set to open the end of the month. Is it too late to stop the plan?
Well, I think that as we've seen the support of the community or the lack of support of the community will decide their fate. I, for one, I support my community. I want to see small businesses like Catedral and many other small businesses. We have Jumping Bean, Copo Joe. There's so many small businesses that provide a quality coffee that is aligned with our values. I think that ultimately our community will decide. And I think we're seeing places shutting down when there's no support. I think that ultimately our community coming together, developing alternatives, we're still committed to invest in our community. We just invested in the renewal of the arch, the renovations of the arch in Little Village. And we continue to fight to create a proper space for the discount vendors that were displaced by the same developer. We'll continue to make sure that we prioritize small businesses and people over profit.
Well, thank you, Alderman. Thank you both for your input.
Thank you.
Guess we'll have to see what happens next.
Yeah.
Up next, a look at how Chicagoans are celebrating Mexican Independence Day. You've probably seen a lot of Mexican flags around the city this week. That's because celebrations for the annual Mexican Independence Day are kicking off this weekend. Some street closures and traffic disruptions are expected in parts of the city, as thousands are expected to participate in the festivities.
¡Viva México! ¡Sí, señor!
It's a weekend filled with Mexican pride, as hundreds of people take to the streets to celebrate Mexican Independence Day.
Se levanta la bandera arriba para todos mis mexicanos.
In Little Village, blocks are decked out with the colors of the Mexican flag ahead of the annual Mexican Independence Parade on Sunday. This parade has been a tradition in Chicago.
We had to take it, not in a battle. We had to take it by showing our culture. And it's so colorful and so rich in history that we can't keep it to ourselves.
On September 16th, Mexico commemorates the anniversary of the start of its decade-long revolution from Spain. As the story goes, Catholic priest Miguel de Algo y Costilla called on his town to stand strong and sounded the first battle cry, known as El Grito, to fight for Mexico's independence in 1810. This moment in history has symbolized hope for the Mexican community.
El Grito can happen in venues that are well known, but they can happen at home, they can happen in the street.
Teresa Fraga is a founding member of the Comité Cultural Mexicano de Chicago. She has been instrumental in organizing the Pilsen Annual Grito celebration at Harrison Park. This year, the ceremony is taking place on Sunday outside the Benito Juarez Community Campus and will include food, music, and student performances.
I think that El Comité Cultural Mexicano, what we have done is that we are showcasing a hidden jewel in having it here at Plaza de los Héroes.
Meanwhile, at Butler's Field at Grand Park, tents and a stage are being set up for a two-day Mexican festival scheduled for this weekend.
We feel like we wanted to bring an organized and a really festive and fun and vibrant festival to the city of Chicago, to right downtown, so that people have an outlet.
It has been more than a decade since the last Mexican festival took place downtown. Organizers say they have been working for 2.5 years to revive the culture event.
We need to be here. We are over 1.8 million Mexicans in the city of Chicago, so we need to represent.
The city-sponsored festival will feature a range of musical performances, including mariachi bands, traditional dancers, a variety of food options, and an art section curated by the National Museum of Mexican Art.
But this is not just about Mexicans to come and celebrate. This is to open up our hearts to every community member to come and learn about our culture.
Caravans have also played a significant role in Chicagoan celebrations. Lines of cars can be seen driving from Little Village to Lakeshore Drive, a form of expression that Teresa Fraga says gives people pride in proclaiming their identity.
For the city, for our neighbors, for our children, to embrace it and live it and love it. And, you know, now the caravans are representative of that expression.
And police leadership have reportedly said there will be zero tolerance for any caravanning, but it's unclear what that means as thousands of drivers have participated in the past. Police say they will close streets if necessary to control traffic. If the department does shut down areas of the loop, there will be access points along Halsted Street, Division Street, and Washington Boulevard, among others. You can see the full list and details on these events on our website. And that's our show tonight for this Thursday night. Join us tomorrow night at 5:37 and 10. Now, from all of us here at Chicago Tonight, Latino Voices, I'm Joanna Hernandez. Thank you for watching. Stay safe and healthy. Good night. And viva Mexico.
Closed captioning is made possible by Robert A. Clifford and Clifford Law Offices, a Chicago personal injury and wrongful death firm that is proud to give back to its community in Chicago and beyond.